So part two of Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon space opera epic, The Scargiver, has hit Netflix. Is this one worth your time? Well, do you want me to give you the short answer or the long one? Rebel Moon Part 2 The Scargiver is once again directed by Zack Snyder and stars Sofia Boutella and a bunch of other actors in the lead roles. The rebels gear up for a battle against the Motherworld as unbreakable bonds are forged, heroes emerge, and legends are made. Hey everybody, welcome back to Movie Morning. Rebel Moon Part 2 The Scargiver, the most overindulgently long title of all time, but that film has hit theaters. Now, when it comes to Rebel Moon, prior to the release of Part 1, I was so on board with Zack Snyder doing his R-rated, edgier Star Wars. As I've said before, and I will say again, in case any Snyder fans want to attack me, is that I am a fan of Zack Snyder. More so his DC work than his non-DC work. Like, never been the biggest fan of his Watchmen. I've never seen 300, but that is a movie I absolutely intend to see, and it's been on my watch list for a while. There are some of his movies like Sucker Punch, which I don't really have any interest in ever watching because of what I've heard about them. But I am a fan of the guy when he makes good movies, and I liked all of his DC films. Man of Steel, I loved. It might be my favorite Superman movie ever made. And Zack Snyder's Justice League, I think, is one of the top three or top five greatest DC comic adaptations of all time in terms of movies, obviously. So I am a fan of him as a filmmaker. I think he's made some fantastic films. But when it came to Rebel Moon Part 1, even though I enjoyed it more than most people, I believe I gave it a C+, which I would argue is, depending on your perspective, either the lowest positive grade I can give or just about the least negative grade that exists for me. And I think there's a fine line there, and I've tried to balance that, whether that's with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, where I definitely saw that as a very, very slight recommendation, or stuff like Kung Fu Panda 4, where I was like, oh, that was a big disappointment. With Rebel Moon Part 1, I enjoyed my time with it, but it felt a little self-indulgent, and it just felt like the story was being stretched out, and at the same time, it was too derivative of other things. And because of that, even though I was super excited for Part 1, I was pretty disappointed with what we got, and because of that, not really looking forward to Part 2, even though I thought there was potential, and I liked some of the world building, and I liked some of the way the world looks. I liked, again, I just like sci-fi films, and I liked the feel of it. I liked being in that universe. But at the same time, going into this year, I can't really say I was anticipating Rebel Moon Part 2. And just to make it very clear, the only reason this review didn't come out a couple of hours ago was that I forgot this movie was coming out and had none of the thumbnails made, didn't have a single description written, didn't have, you know, I almost didn't, this wasn't even on my radar to record this weekend because I forgot this movie was coming out until yesterday morning, a couple of hours before the film came out. And because of that, I actually think I might not even get this review out in time for the weekend, but here we are, let's discuss Rebel Moon Part 2. So as always, starting off with the positives, there are some cool Zack Snyder visuals like in all of his films. The very final fight in this film, that without saying too much, does involve some lightsabers, and yes, they are basically lightsabers, looks awesome. And some of the visual effects look fantastic. Some of them don't, but I think more often than not, I was looking at a scene and noticed that little bit looks beautiful, that moment of visual effects looks great, and that shot and that vista looks gorgeous. Zack Snyder, I believe, went to art school, not even film school, art school. And because of that, he's really good at creating these canvases where there's these big battles and these iconic images. That's why 300, I think, worked for so many people. That's why a lot of people loved his DC films and his take on mythologizing that universe. And there are some spectacular displays of battle scenes and everything like that. There's some great sound effects. Technically, I think Junkie XL, who I believe did the score for this, although I could be completely wrong on that, has a couple of tracks in here that I think sound quite good. Jaimon Hansu, that's an actor I really like, and I love his voice in particular. He has such a commanding voice, and this movie definitely lets him take advantage of that. He has these, like, battle speeches or whatever, and there's a couple of them which, while very cliche, are cool because he's delivering them, and I just like the screen presence his character had. And like the first film, again, I think Admiral Noble, or General Noble, or whatever he goes by, played by Ed Skrein, feels unlike the characters in this universe because he actually once again has like a screen presence, and I like the way that character moves around. I like the way he has such a commanding voice, and he is a legitimately terrifying villain, and I think Ed Skrein plays him with a lot more sophistication than I think these movies deserve. And again, that scene when he first arrives on Velt in part one is still by far the best scene in this entire two movie saga because there was actual intensity there. And I feel like with Rebel Moon Part 2, while there wasn't anything quite like that, I think a lot of the scenes that he's in are a lot more entertaining because he has such a commanding presence, and you can really feel that he is a commander of the Imperium or whatever he's meant to play. And I just like the very villainous thing he brings to this universe. But honestly, other than those very minor things, if you ask me personally, this was a hollow and just unengaging experience entirely. And other than those few positives, yeah, this one was a tough watch for me because it just felt so. I don't remember the last time I watched a film that I was legitimately interested in the sense that at least I'm interested in this universe because I like Zack Snyder, that I was so unengaged and not immersed in, especially a sci-fi film for that matter. Any hope I had for this franchise, which part one, although it squandered most of them, still left some open, has been absolutely just booted. There is nothing about this universe that I'm really interested in anymore. And I think this film was shockingly dull and at the same time overblown. Like, it just. This film as a whole was kind of a weird experience for me because I would have never expected that boring and at the same time just, again, uninterested would have been the word I would use to describe my experience watching this movie. Because again, I like sci-fi films, and most of my enjoyment of that first part, although not great by any means, and I wouldn't even say it was a good movie, I just had things about that movie that I did appreciate. Most of my enjoyment of that movie was just, I like sci-fi films, I like exploring different worlds, and this movie gives me that, even if it is very derivative, and even though a lot of the writing is awful and everything like that. When it kind of came to this movie, it was weirdly tame in the world building and at the same time, how the scale of it. And the first thing I'll start off with in terms of my negatives, which there are so many to get through, I actually had to cut most of them out because I wrote like almost 2 pages of notes, and every time I write over a page of notes, these reviews go on way too long, and I just cut most of everything I wanted to say out because there's just way too much to get into, and this is still probably going to be over a 20-minute review. This reaffirms to me without question that this two-movie journey that has been the first chapter of Rebel Moon should not have been 2 farts. This is a 1, 2.5 hour at most movie that has been prolonged to over 4 hours long and apparently might be twice that long when we have 2 4-hour versions of each of those parts, which is absolutely mind-blowing to me because this movie, to me, when you look at Rebel Moon Part 1 and 2 together, is in every single way just a worse and longer version of A Bug's Life or something like Star Wars. Like, when you look at A Bug's Life, every single plot beat in A Bug's Life is put in this movie. And I can't believe I'm comparing a Zack Snyder film that he has called rated R Star Wars to a Pixar film, but it's literally beat for beat. And I understand A Bug's Life took inspiration from Seven Samurai, but that's irrelevant to me because most of the general audience is gonna connect that to things like A Bug's Life and Star Wars, and it doesn't put a fresh spin on it, which Star Wars and A Bug's Life, for example, do. Star Wars, this movie is just taking what inspired Star Wars, Seven Samurai, and then basically repeating that, but at the same time copying Star Wars. And it's just this conundrum that just makes this such a frustrating watch. And it just, this part two arguably makes those comparisons to films like that even more relevant and even more frustrating because they are so, this film is so derivative and such a regurgitation of better films. And it's very clear from that with this film. And what I don't understand is that, again, there is a 4 hour cut of each of these movies, or at least 3 hours, or I don't know, I've gotten mixed information on that, that are apparently alternate universe versions. But honestly, like I just said, I feel like this two part film that went over 4 hours when you combine them should have been less than 2.5 hours. And I don't understand what could possibly be in those cuts to make them more interesting. But at the same time, the cuts we do have feel like a compromise and such an unnecessary one because this is a Netflix movie. It doesn't have to appeal to families. And no one showed up to watch the first movie anyway. Obviously, figuratively, because all they had to do was sit down on their couch and click play. But no one really did that. The numbers weren't as good as they wanted. And again, like, I'm not going to get into the whole director's cut and why they split it nonsense again, because I really ranted on that in my part one review. It was a stupid idea, and I absolutely still believe that. But I just have personally, as a Zack Snyder fan, will not be checking out those director's cuts because I don't like what we're getting, and I don't understand how we could get more of this story. And I understand it sounds like I'm not reviewing this movie, but it all comes back to the fact that this movie, just on a script level, on just a performance level, on an action level, just didn't deliver what I would usually want from Zack Snyder. On every level, this was a really weak, emotionally hollow, lackluster film. And just again, there were so many subplots that are so unnecessary. Like the whole Admiral Noble and kind of his death at the end of part one and him coming back in the final shot. By the time you get to the start of this movie, it's so unnecessary. And I think it makes for other problems. By the time we get to the ending, and I'll talk about that later, like there is so much in part one and two that feels repetitive, and stuff that just happened in part two has to happen again. And speaking of that, the first half of part two does what the first movie should have done, which is tell us stuff about the characters so that we know who they are. The issue here, again, is unfortunately that the writing and the performances, for the most part, are extremely weak and very shallow, and because of that, none of the dialogue scenes are interesting, and the exposition scenes are absolutely grueling to sit through. Like, this film has absolutely horrendous handling of exposition. I talked about exposition being a problem in Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire, and then in my review after that in Abigail, I talked about how I love the way exposition was done. Rebel Moon, to give you exposition, just has scenes of the characters sitting down by a table, talking to each other and pretty much just going around in a circle telling stories. And that's just not what movies are for. Like, you should be showing us the story, not telling us the stories. And the way exposition is done, it's so convoluted. There's so much shoved together. There's so many put in one thing. Like, there is a scene in this movie where they go through every character's backstory, some of which we've already heard, but obviously the audience forgot because none of these characters are interesting. And after a while, you just can't keep up with all of them and remember everything. It almost brings us to the what even is the point of giving this information? At a point, I just checked out and I couldn't really tell you anything from that scene because he tries to give you so much information. At the same time, the way he delivers it, there's these overly long slow-mo shots. And at the same time, there's so many breaks between, line delivery. And each actor is really trying to play up the epicness of their backstory. And it just isn't interesting. And at the same time, the delivery is so bland, and there's this, again, attempt to at a such an unnecessarily epic tone that this part two in particular doesn't earn. And man, the first half of this movie is slow. And when you really think about it, nothing really happens story-wise. Now, I'm someone who absolutely can enjoy hangout movies, but they have to be well-written, they have to be interesting from a character perspective, and at least, I have to be invested in the relationships. Like this week, I've been watching Richard Linklater's Before trilogy. Never thought I'd bring that up in a review for Rebel Moon, but those movies don't have any plots, but they're such fantastic films because, again, the relationship that we're exploring is interesting. Richard Linklater makes so many interesting directorial choices, and the writing is so witty, it's so smart, and then just the conversations are absolutely riveting to listen to, even though they're so casual and mundane. When it comes to Rebel Moon, all the dialogue is sci-fi and cliched up like you'd expect. And nothing of note really happens. And everything that does happen, you kind of forget about because, again, it's just, there's so much of it. There's so many unnecessary slow-mo shots. I kid you not, if you think Zack Snyder has put a lot of slow-mo shots in his previous few films, there are literally slow-mo shots of characters cutting grass and harvesting wheat. Like, that's how much slow-mo is in this movie. There's, again, boring exposition scenes that are a massive struggle to get through, and really bad character moments. Like, there's a bit of a focus on a romance that's teased at the end of the first movie. I guess I shouldn't say what it is. It could be spoilers. But again, I just the actors had no chemistry, and at the same time, it's not earned at all. You're just not invested in it in any way. And again, just the writing on both of these films, but even more so this one, just is not on point. Like the writing for me just wasn't good enough to spend so much time having scenes with characters just talking. The dialogue is incredibly cliche, and the line delivery is just very bland. Or just on almost every actress's front. Like, I liked Sofia Boutella in these two movies. I think she's a talented actress, but I don't think, especially by the time we get to this movie, that her character really goes through much, even though, again, she has such a rich and, I would say, very convoluted backstory. And Zack Snyder's strength has always been visual filmmaking, and I don't think anything shows that more than these movies, because the script that he is part of the writing team for is very weak. And there are so many dumb character decisions, particularly in the final battle, that it actually frustrated me. There are so many logic issues. Like, some of these farmers who've never held a blaster in their entire life managed to become skilled warriors who can take on the Imperium of the Universe with, like, a day's training. And again, there's logic leaps like that that feel so out of place in the universe that it actually kind of baffled me. But the biggest thing for me, again, it comes down to the fact that the characters are so not likable. I'm not going to say they're unlikable, but they're extremely uninteresting. Like, I've never seen an ensemble of sci-fi characters be as lame and uninteresting as the main group of characters we're following in Rebel Moon Part 1 and now Rebel Moon Part 2. I legitimately don't remember any of their names other than General Titus because of the fact that I like Jaimon Hansu. And or their personalities. Like, there's literally a scene in this movie where a character lists all these characters as personalities, like their video game stats. Because of the fact that Zack Snyder knows you don't know any of them based off the first movie, where they all got introduced just because they had a cool power set, and there was nothing about the characters that was memorable whatsoever. And I just don't understand how Zack Snyder went through all the effort of, again, retreading so many amazing stories we love, like Star Wars, but not learning anything about how to make an interesting and fun set of characters, which I think he successfully does in movies like Zack Snyder's Justice League, which, again, all that was just so baffling to me. But the characters are very boring to watch. And at the same time, I feel like although I've been spoon-fed so much information, I know nothing of note about them, which is odd. And I think it wastes any potential good character, well, any potential they had for making a good character. Like, again, I don't think Cora, played by Sofia Boutella, really has an arc in this movie. Like, she obviously has a rich backstory, again, that a very tragic one, and that comes up again in this film, and it's explored more. By the end of the movie, you don't really feel like she's gone through everything. Like, her journey, where she's actually going to change, is what's being set up in this movie, which I think is pretty stupid considering this is now 4 hours we've spent with her as a lead character. And again, her romance I didn't think was good. Jaimon Hansu, again, I liked him in this movie, but his character is given really nothing outside of a few hints about who he became after he rebelled against what he's been fighting for his whole life. And even the robot, played by Anthony Hopkins, who was one of the most interesting things in the first one, in terms of I really loved just the what they were, just the intrigue they were building with that character. He's completely wasted here. He basically had no reason to be in the movie. And again, it looks like there could be more if we got to see a Rebel Moon Part 3, but again, 4 hours of him just standing around feels pretty underwhelming. And because of the fact that I don't care about any of the characters, none of the action, none of the dialogue scenes, none of the anything works. And let's talk about the action for the minute, because I mentioned earlier there are some cool Zack Snyder visuals. And while there absolutely are, I would argue there are more things about the action in this film that I didn't like than I did. And the biggest one comes down to me is that it's just a bunch of meaningless noise. The entire back half of this movie, almost an hour of runtime, is entirely devoted to action scenes. But I'm going to be honest with you, there's only about 5 or 6 shots that I actually remember. And it's a whole hour of visual noise and CGI thing in front of other CGI thing, next to CGI thing, on top of CGI grass, in front of CGI grass. Or not in front of CGI, in front of a CGI sky and backdrop, shooting CGI thing. Like, there isn't anything that looks Like, it feels authentic even within the universe. Clearly, a lot of this was made with green screens. And again, Zack Snyder can create them visual landscapes, particularly using just computers, and he's done that many times. And there is times when he successfully does that here. But everything is so not immersive. The whole movie, for that matter, I feel like, feels like a whole bunch of nothing. And I think all the action feels like that too. The build-up, even there's like 3 hours of build-up over the course of the two parts, and even then, the entire hour of action we get in the back half doesn't really feel like it pays any of it off. And I think the usage of slow motion, while I like when Zack Snyder uses it well, it's out of control. Like, there's a lot of scenes here, again, literally harvesting wheat that are done in slow motion. Why? I have no idea. And there are so many action scenes that just, they don't fit with the slow motion. They should just be shown as they are and they'd be entertaining. But there are moments when they're like Jaimon Hansu's character, and then we have like the character who rode a eagle or whatever it was in the last movie, I don't know what creature it was, where they're fighting a group of guys, but it's not the kind of scene that works in slow motion because there's so much going on and so many different characters we're supposed to be following. And again, so many baffling choices like that. And it just, other than the very final lightsaber fight, which is what it basically is. I mean, it's basically a repeat of many great Star Wars fights. All of the action feels surprisingly boring and dull, even for a Zack Snyder film. And all you just forget about all of it immediately. Like, and again, there's so many dumb decisions being made as well that it just, the slow-mo almost gives you more time to think about how dumb a lot of what's happening is. And that's just a big disappointment for me. And speaking, I mentioned the action was almost an hour long, and I promise I'm gonna be ending this one soon. But this movie's barely—I could calling this a movie—I think would honestly be stretching, because there are no acts in this movie. Like, I don't mind a movie that bends the three-act structure, but I would argue you kind of need at least a clear, like, setup, rising action, and then climax or whatever. There isn't really any of that here, other than I guess the final fight. This movie has really no structure. Scenes feel like they're out of order all the time. And even the conclusion isn't satisfying. Like, this is a part two, I would argue, feels like less of a complete story than, I'm trying to come up with a good example, something like Dune Part One, which had such a cliffhanger of an ending, but not even in the way where, the character arcs off, like, nothing was really done with that first Dune film. But Denis Villeneuve did such a good job building that world that the movie ended up being fantastic, and we didn't mind. When it came to Rebel Moon Part 2, it should be the finale, it should be the payoff, but it's not that at all. There isn't a satisfying conclusion. I have zero interest for more, and I would honestly argue this movie giving more answers made me less interested. And that's because the world is so unnecessarily convoluted. The world building, the amount of backstories, the ones that level on top of each other, what went on with Korra and her time defending the princess. There's so much to keep up with that it's trying its best to out Star Wars, give us a bunch of Empire backstory. But it somehow is less interesting despite him making it edgier and more deep and all that. And again, I feel like I'm less interested in this entire universe based off part two. And I would argue part two ends with one minor change in a character's fate, and I've hinted at this in this review, the same way part one ends. And I almost feel like the ending of part two should have been the ending of part one. And what they're teasing should have been what part two is, and that should have closed off the franchise. I really don't understand why there are four more movies, let alone that, plus 4 more hours of just this two-part story that Zack Snyder shot. I don't understand what else could be waiting that could get me interested. And it doesn't help that the way Zack Snyder's described kind of his approach to splitting this movie and at the same time talking about the extended director's cuts, I have no interest for any more in this universe. Now, if I hear the director's cuts are great when they're out, a few months from now, a year from now, 3 years from now, I don't know when. We know that they're not really close to filming part three or anything. If I hear they're great, I might give them a try. But what I want to end this review with is that I just am so not interested in any more from this universe. And again, Zack Snyder, and again, going back to the director's cut thing, and I know I keep coming back to this, I don't understand why he didn't just put out his version. And even though it's longer and it would have been potentially more boring for me to sit through, at least it would have felt like less of a hack job as the two movies he's put out did. And even some of the quotes he's given, like he did a recent interview with Josh Horowitz, who I love, does tons of great work, and I think got Zack Snyder to reveal some things that I think are really interesting. But the way he described kind of, even again, like he, and this is something he literally said, a vote against me is a vote for the focus groups. And that is just such, I feel like just such a misread of how people look at the Rebel Moon films. And just, I just don't understand what he's on about. Because he's basically saying that if you don't like his movies, you want test audiences that constantly get his movies worse, like with BVS, to prevail and studios prevail and artists being in danger of not being able to show their creativity. But what's dumb to me is he's not even releasing the versions of his movies that go against those things that he wants to go against. And I know for a fact that I probably, that Zack Snyder was involved in making the decision to release PG-13 cuts because of the fact that this is going to Netflix. It shouldn't really affect the viewership. And I don't know. I don't want to go on along too much longer. This is probably the longest review I've done in a while, if not ever. And it's for a movie that I don't even really like. And it feels like I'm just hating on it at this point. In the end, look, this is not an awful movie by any means. Again, I still love the genre. There are moments I like. There are moments that are right up my alley. But as an overall experience, part two not only doesn't get me excited for any more from this universe, it I think actively makes part one worse. And I can't really see myself going back and watching part one, which I admittedly never was going to do anyways, and certainly wasn't going to do to prepare for part two or anything. I can't see myself having a good experience with that movie, and can't really even give it a positive review now after seeing part two because absolutely nothing was paid off, and it just gave me such a boring experience. I'm going to give Rebel Moon part two, The Scar Giver, a D plus. And when it comes to recommendation, for me, this is one that I recommend you skip. This is not one you need to check out. Even if you mildly enjoyed part one like me, I can't imagine you're going to find this to be a satisfying conclusion. In fact, you're going to be frustrated because the ending is so open-ended in a way that almost makes this whole experience kind of superfluous, or at least a good 3 out of the 4 hours kind of superfluous. So even if you're a huge Zack Snyder fan, I would say I'm a casual Zack Snyder fan, but I absolutely am a fan. This was an unsatisfying experience. This was a disappointment. And I really hope Zack Snyder takes his insane talent, which he is as a director, somewhere else and go do things that I think he's probably better suited for. And I don't think he should be as involved in the story building and writing the screenplays as he was for these movies, because that's just not where his strength lies. So, what did you guys think of Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver? Did you like it more than Part 1? Make sure to let me know in the poll section as well as in the Q&A section on Spotify. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will catch you all next time. Bye bye.